Like a lot of folks around the area, I'm a lot more active and spending time outdoors as summer begins to spill into fall. I have job duties that take me to the field for multiple day trips, and not long after those conclude, I have personal trips that also take me to other parts of the field for multi-day trips as well. These trips tumble along from about the middle of July until mid to late September, though it should be noted such excursions can and do happen throughout the calendar. I know the same is true for a lot of other folks around the area as well. In some ways, the things I take with me, the gear I use, when I'm outdoors, camping would be the term, though I always have a purpose, such as work or hunting, is ever-changing and always evolving. A part of that is the gear available to us is always improving, so it makes sense to go with better stuff. Still, I'm something of a stick in the mud when I hit on something I like, and I often operate from the "if it ain't broke, don't fix it" mindset. For example, I still favor aluminum arrows for hunting with a bow. I wear the same stocking hat I've had since my sophomore year of high school, and I've been using the same buck knife for field dressing big game my entire adult life. A more recent example is that I have no intentions of switching from my current sleeping pad because I truly do not believe there can be anything better at any size, let alone at the size it is. But one thing that does seem to change with some frequency is the hunting clothes I use. And make no mistake, having the right clothes when you are outdoors in Alaska is about much more than just comfort. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. I should qualify a couple of things here. The clothes I use for hunting are the clothes I use for pretty much any time I spend outdoors, irrespective of the purpose. I purchase clothing with an eye towards hunting, but they get used throughout the year. Also, I'm going to share a few thoughts about clothes and purposeful activities, like hunting or fishing, and being outdoors in Alaska. That doesn't make my viewpoints absolutely right, or even mostly right, though I know from conversations I have with people new to the area, or visitors, that some of my ideas are better than theirs. That's not a statement fueled by ego, but a simple fact. I will provide examples to illustrate that over the course of this episode. For me, there are really two overriding factors when it comes to dressing for the outdoors in Alaska: staying away from cotton clothing and successfully dressing in layers. That's it. After that, it's largely personal preference. And when I say stay away from cotton, what I'm really saying is to go with things like wool or some of the fine synthetics that are available, such as fleece. Let me take just a moment to say why it is I'm dogging cotton so much. Cotton is a very common clothing fabric. A good portion of our everyday clothes are either cotton or cotton blends, and for good reason. It's comfortable and inexpensive. Hoodies, jeans, t-shirts, most of us own a lot of cotton. And there are places where it's an okay outdoor fabric as well. It's just not a great choice for Alaska. For most of the year, we need clothing that insulates well when we're doing stuff outside. The way it works is that clothing keeps you warm by trapping warm air near the skin. This can cause us to sweat. When cotton gets wet, the pockets of air fill with water, causing it to stop insulating. It turns into a sponge which traps that wetness against your body. No big deal if you're in a very hot climate. In a cold climate rife with the potential tendrils of hypothermia, it's a very bad thing. Keep in mind, hypothermia can and does occur in temperatures well above freezing. The danger is every bit as great. Also, wet cotton dries very, very slowly and does not wick water away from your skin. It traps it there. Wicking refers to a fabric's ability to move water away from the skin to the outer layer. This leaves the layer touching your skin dry. Many of today's synthetics wick moisture quite well. Cotton does not. For those reasons, cotton is a poor choice for Alaska's outdoors, even if it is great in town or around the house. Let's talk layering for just a bit. For me, layering is a three-step sort of thing that is adjusted to fit specific seasons and weather. Those three layers are some type of base layer, an insulating layer or layers, and a protective layer. A lot of folks have the same system and may use the same terms or different terms. Those three layers may be just that, three simple layers, or it may be that there are other layers within those, again depending on the season and weather, and also the person, because each of us is a little different. Some folks stay fairly warm pretty much all the time. Some get cold easily. Only you can determine what's going to keep you warm and dry. However, I would put forth that putting on clothing in the order I'm going to describe is a good way to go. Base layers are the first thing that you put on, and sometimes they don't change. Base layers are socks, underwear, and long underwear tops and bottoms. The purpose of this layer is to provide warmth and wick moisture. This layer in particular needs to be as little about cotton as possible. I favor polypropylene for my long johns, though there are other good fabrics out there. I've read good things about merino wool, for example, but not yet had a chance to try it. Typically, if I'm going to be gone for any length of time, I take two sets of long johns in case one gets wet and I need to dry it or simply to change out. I personally like to have at least one change of socks and underwear for every single day that I'll be in the field. I have found that having such keeps me a much happier, more chipper outdoorsman. Next comes the insulating layer or layers. These are the layers that trap that air next to your body and keep it warm, which keeps you warm. Depending on the weather and your own personal internal thermostat, it may be a single layer is fine, or it may be that you have several layers. With layers, you can adjust as you go, shedding or adding depending on the activity level and changing weather. Some good insulating fabrics include fleece, synthetic fills, wool, and down. My favorite is fleece, and for several reasons. First, it's fairly inexpensive. It's also common enough to find a wide variety of clothing types made from fleece. It insulates very well and retains a good deal of that even when wet, and it dries quickly. I have a number of fleece shirts, vests, jackets, hoodies, and pants I've acquired through the years, and they all find use. I don't have any clothing that has down, but I have friends that do and they're happy with it. It's the lightest and packs really small. The concern with down is if it gets wet. It does not insulate once wet and takes a good while to dry. Wool is a great fabric. It doesn't dry very fast, but it does retain its ability to insulate, even when wet. It can be more expensive, and there can be less choice in clothing options. It's good to have a number of insulating layers on hand as options, so you can adjust as you need to. The last layer is the protective layer. For anything other than winter, and sometimes even during winter, this means rain gear. The thing with rain gear is that it often seems like we have two choices. Fully protective, which remains dry while stationary but causes sweat if you move around any amount. That would be something like a Helly Hansen type PVC coat. Or you can go with a Gore-Tex type coat, which breathes and is fine for light to moderate rainfall, but will get heavy with rain when it becomes more than that. Rain gear is a very personal choice and can be a source of frustration for many. Rain gear can cost far less than $50 or run close to $1,000. My understanding is some of the very upper-end, newer stuff does or can offer both. Completely dry in the heaviest of rains, but breathable enough to not sweat if you're moving around. I do not have any experience with such clothing, but it sure is a great idea. Rain gear is definitely something I'm still experimenting with, searching for that greener grass, which may not even exist, without dropping hundreds and hundreds of dollars. I will share that I wear Helly Hansen Improtect bibs. These bibs are absolutely waterproof, flexible, and comfortable. I love them. I even managed to find them on sale for less than $30 a pair. Piece of advice? If you find a smoking sale, never ever buy just one. However, I tend to sweat a lot above the waist, so I have not yet bought the matching top. This fall, I plan to try out a Cabela's MT-050 Gore-Tex top. Will it work? Will I like it? Only time will tell. The importance of a good protective layer cannot be overstated, though. It allows the other layers to do their thing. A good protective layer also keeps the wind out, yet another consideration. For protective winter clothing, well, that's another discussion for another day entirely. It comes down to this. Everyone's needs are a bit different, factoring in things like personal tolerances, personal preferences, and budgetary considerations. That said, it does well to have a game plan and to follow certain steps, like layering properly and targeting specific fabric types. One reason I decided to talk about this today is that it's something I think about a lot in the fall, because I'm outdoors a lot in the fall. But also, I've met several individuals this summer who are either new to Alaska or visiting our area. In some cases, their choice of clothing types really wasn't what it should have been, and had it been anything but the peak of summer, those choices might have been not only less comfortable, but dangerous as well. Dress warm, dress properly, and happy hunting, or hiking, or whatever you choose to do. Just get outside and do it. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake, provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.